Good God, how can I not figure this thing out? One of these days, we'll figure it out. I thought that I had it mastered from last time, and evidently I don't. That should, I guess. See if there's an echo now. I can't even handle this. It's been a crazy night here in my house. I also feel like my audio and my video is not synced up. You guys tell me if my voice and what you're seeing are not matching up on your screen, and then I'll fix it if that's the case. I don't know why it would be different. I haven't changed anything. Why would it be different? Good Lord. All right, audio and video are synced, so I'm gonna ignore what my brain is telling me. All right, it's a happy hour. It's not a show. The point of all of this is for us to hang out and have a drink together. So, when things may not be working or may appear like they're not working, it's okay. All right, let's see what everybody's drinking. This is because it's a happy hour. Tell me what you're drinking. That's part of the point. I'm all out of sorts. I was getting ready to go live on time, and all of a sudden the kids, I could hear them just running around upstairs, and then the dog started barking at them, and then I had to go up and try to get them to quiet down so that I could sit and do this. And so now I'm just like kind of all out of sorts, and my brain's not working, and I can't like think about multiple things at the same time. It's not a strong point of mine. let's see. Josh is having a Clear Ridge Pale Ale from Westside. Marco's having Westside Dippa and going to eat dinner. And Julia having Blueberry Creamsicle M43 from Old Nation. A lot of good things here. Chris is diving into bottle 514 of Dark Charge Vanilla French Chew. Chris says, I look fine. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. I didn't shave today, but thanks. all right. Chris says French Chew, obviously. Yes. French Chew. I think I drank that beer. I think. Actually, now I'm not sure. And now I'm curious, but we won't dive into that yet. I won't go digging through the cellar. But I do remember I brought it home, and I was really excited because it came packaged or came with an actual French Chew, like the candy, and I was excited, like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to drink the beer. I'm going to have the candy together. This is going to be a ton of fun. And then I left it sitting down here, and it was the winter time because Dark Charge, obviously. And evidently, we were having mice issues at that time. They're probably hanging out in the walls right now. They're probably listening to me right now. And I came down like 2 days later, and sitting on the bar was a bunch of mouse shit and a half-eaten French Chew. Like, they ate like half of that piece of candy, which it's a substantial size candy. Oh man, I was so mad. Marco says, anyone else have their dog find a stray cat under your back deck? Have to have the kid crawl onto the deck to grab the almost dead cat to take it to a shelter. No, I do remember when I was younger, I was probably in high school, my parents' dog got under their deck chasing like a rabbit or something and got stuck under there. And I remember having to crawl to get the dog out. But other than that, no, my dog can't fit under a deck. He's too beefy. All right. We're going to start this. All right. We need to get our bearings and do this the right way. I've got a tiny little glass. That's right. It's time for the schnappening. It's been a while since we've done a schnappening, it feels like, or at least a proper schnappening. And I think this is proper. I guess this may not be a schnapp. Depends on your definition and who's determining schnappability. I love making up words that have to do with schnapps. This is schnappified enough for me. This is Kruskovac. I've had this on the show before. We're going to be recycling some schnapps until we work our way through some of these bottles that are laying around. This is a pear. Pear is the flavor that's listed, and it goes on into detail, and it says it is a pear imitation liqueur. I'm assuming that means that it's a fake pear flavor. However, you could also interpret this just as an imitation liqueur, whatever that means. So maybe it's a schnapp, maybe it's an imitation schnapp. I don't know. Let's read and let's find out more about it. It says Kruskovac is a sweet pear flavored liqueur with an intense orange color, prepared in accordance with old recipes. Okay. Old recipes. It can be consumed in its original form or chilled as a dessert beverage. Kruskovac is also a delightful addition to various cocktails and fruit salads. I do remember this now because I remember the fruit salad. Oh, no. And it's all crusty. There we go. This is the problem with sugary beverages. They crust themselves shut. And I just wiped it with my hand, so now my fingers are going to be sticky. It's all right. I do this for you guys, and sometimes that means I have to put myself in harm's way of sticky schnapp fingers. It's definitely orange colored. Like it's a pears aren't orange. Why is it orange? Excuse me. All right. Let's see how fake this is, or how good it is. All right, it's bright orange in color. Yep, it smells like candied. Candied sugar. I actually don't get any peach at all. It does not smell like peaches to me. Maybe like some kind of gummy peach. Maybe it just smells like candy, like generic, unflavored candy. Oh man, Julia says, do you get imitation peach smell? Not even, because I actually kind of like imitation peach smell, like that real like crazy peach ring flavor or aroma. I'm not getting a ton of that. I mean, it definitely smells like something, but why are we talking about peaches then? Oh, it is pear. You're right. Pear. I don't know why I was getting peaches in my head. I don't get pears either. I'm all out of sorts, you guys. I don't get pears either. It doesn't smell like any kind of real fruit. Did you do it to me, or did I start it? Because it is kind of more, it is more peachy colored maybe than pear colored. I don't even know. I don't know anything anymore. Prost, cheers. Man, I'm trying to figure out what it smells like, and it's not peaches, pears, or anything. Mm-hmm. It's really good, though. Maybe it tastes like pears. You know what? I don't even know. It just tastes like candy, like some kind of candy. It doesn't taste like gummy candy. It tastes like a hard candy. I don't know what the difference is, but there is like a flavor difference. And it tastes like a hard candy. Like somebody melted down hard candies and put them in a little tiny bottle and gave it some kind of Eastern European name and put it on my bar. That's what it smells like and tastes like. It's not bad. I actually think it's kind of good. It's definitely sugary. This is one of those things that like I feel like I'm getting sugar all over me as I drink it. I feel like there's sugar like on the backs of my knees, behind my ears. I feel like it's everywhere. Chris has probably made it in Hoboken. I like that. That is, it tastes like a Halloween candy, and I think that's appropriate for this week. I have a bunch of topics that I want to talk about, and some of them, I actually have to pull my notes up now because I changed things again because I'm a glutton for punishment, and I changed the way the screens are set up, and now where my notes normally are, I have the chat, so now I don't have my notes. So I don't remember what I was going to talk about in what order. So we've got to pull that up. So it's going to take a minute to sync. Of course. This is the way that my night is going, the way my day is going. Good Lord. Let's see. Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News says, good evening. Enjoying Crooked Pecker. Yo-Yo Rodeo, Hazy Pale Ale. I love the name. Cheers. Happy Weekly Pint Monday. Cheers. Yo-Yo Rodeo. That's pretty fun to say. The topics that I... Well, the main topic that I originally wanted to talk about, we may not even get to tonight. This is the problem with the Weekly Pint and the way I do things. So when I put together the actual event for the show, that's where I put in the show title and a description, and all of that goes up to put the event out there early so that it's ready so people can see it and hopefully more people can tune in. If you're tuning in because you just saw the event on Facebook or YouTube or something, thank you. Welcome. But sometimes earlier in the day, the things that I think I'm going to talk about are not always exactly the things that I end up talking about here. We're going to do this. We are going to, if I can find my mouse, we're going to take our notes here, and we're just going to put them over here. And that should work just fine. We'll do that instead of worrying about the phone to sync. All right. Sorry. Look, I'm figuring this whole thing out. One of these days, I'll master doing a live stream. Okay, the point of all that is we may not get to the actual show title topic, and that's okay because it's, as we're all aware, not a show. But I've got plenty of other things that I want to talk about. Zach Holly is drinking the strawberry honey pie Demogorgon. Which I made a video about the other day. Just cracked it open. It is delicious. Marco says, did you have to buy a new tire? not yet. I don't know. I have not gotten in my car since the day that I realized it was flat. I'm assuming that at some point I will have to patch the tire or get a new tire. I don't know yet. That day, I could not find something stuck in my tire, although I didn't look too much, but I did have to pump it up like three times during the day as I was driving around. So, yeah, tons of fun. Zach says, I miss the story, but I feel like you're always having car trouble. Yes, I'm always having car trouble right now. My car is way older than it needs to be and is probably due to get replaced one of these days. So yeah, I always have some kind of car problems. Car problems are me. And I am car problems. I need to open a beer before we dive into tonight's topics, though. And you guys should probably make the choice for me. I've got three different beers sitting in front of me because I couldn't decide. I'm going to give categories for these, and you guys need to choose which category you would like me to drink. We can go simple, and we can go kind of normal for what I would pick. They're all street side beers. Don't you worry, Zach. We can go and wait till all three are thrown out there before somebody starts throwing out their choice. We can go crispy. We can go sour. Or we can go dark, and you guys can pick. I need two votes for the same one before I will call it. Decided. Zach voted for open the Dimma, which is not one of those categories that I just laid out there. Chris has High Life. Not, also not a choice. However crispy is. We have two. Now we have one vote for dark. You can't vote twice. I have one for sour, one crispy. So we have a dark, a crisp. All right, we got another dark one. All right, we're going to go dark. And then if I, there's no way I'm going to drink the whole thing. But if I sit here and sip on this long enough and I get bored, we'll go to something else. I don't think I'll get bored, but this is one that I have not tried. However, as predicted by Zach, this is a Streetside Demogorgon variant from this year. This is Strawberry Jelly Donut Demogorgon. Obviously, it's going to be dark, and it's going to be sweet, and it's probably going to be delicious. It says, Strawberry Jelly Donut Demogorgon, Barrel-Aged Pastry Stout. It says, holy Jesus, what is that? What is that, Streetside? Sir, a jelly donut? Sir, why would you make a jelly donut barrel-aged stout, Streetside? Sir, because we could, and it's weird, sir. Cincinnati, we're adjuncting it, and you're drinking it. 1, 2, 3, 4, we love Demogorgon Day. Okay. I don't know the reference. We're going to crack it open, and we're going to see if it is as delicious as I am hoping it is. Shout out to Streetside. This was gifted to me, full disclosure. However, it doesn't shape my my opinions about the beer. I hope everybody realizes that by now. I do like gifts, but it doesn't shape my opinions. Let's see. Marco says, is that Nick Cage? I don't think so, but I don't know. Ryan says, I'm late to the party. Had my first New Belgium Oak Spire of the year. All right, let's dive into this. Strawberry Jelly Donut. I'll keep it on screen so we can all see what I'm drinking. It definitely smells like a big pastry stout. I'm getting a little bit of a chocolatey kind of malt. You would have to tell me that the strawberry is there for me to pick it out right now. It's also cold. As it warms up, obviously, aromas will change. Yeah, it smells like some kind of chocolatey treat. Much in the same way that the strawberry honey pie Demogorgon tasted or smelled at the beginning. It was very, very chocolatey. Zach says, by the way, I was listening to the Cincy Brewcast today. Topping Goliath is not owned by Monster Energy. They're still owned by the founders, not the brewery. I had to Google it. Yeah, I Googled it after the show, too. Cigar City is definitely owned by Monster. I don't know why in my head Toppling Goliath was part of that group too, but they're not. All right, let's taste this. Whoa, that's fun. I don't know that I would call it a jelly donut. It's definitely like a big, sweet, chocolatey jelly. Yeah, maybe it is a jelly donut. It's like a chocolate-covered jelly donut. I was not thinking, in my head, when I hear jelly donut, I'm thinking like just glazed, pumped full of jelly. No, this is, yeah, chocolate-covered. That's good. when I get the right image in my head, it hits perfect. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That's good beer. Shout out to Streetside. They nailed that one. Zach says, I think that jelly donut is 16%. It is. It is 16.2%. Keep cold, drink fresh. Will do. That's good. It is. Look at how it coats the glass. I don't know if he can, if it picks that up very good on the drink cam, but yeah, it's just like it's loaded full of actual chocolate. So good, you guys. Yeah, we're it's gonna make for an interesting night. Oh, that's good. I don't know if I'll get to anything else tonight because I'm gonna want to sit and drink this whole thing. The sour choice was going to be hoodie season, also from Streetside. This is what, caramel apple sour. And then crispy, obviously also Streetside. This was their collaboration with Branch and Bone. The Devil is in the Details, a Helles lager. This is probably what I would have picked if I was just hanging out and drinking by myself. But if I'm drinking with you guys, we'll go big. Go big or go home. I am home. Go big or go big or go to bed. Zach says these barrel aged beers from Streetside are thick boys and syrupy. Yeah, they definitely have mastered the pastry stout and owned that category. Not that other places aren't making great pastry stouts, because there are, you know, other breweries here in town that are making great pastry stouts, but it has definitely become a big part of their personality. I encourage everybody to go back to last week's episode of Cincy Brewcast and listen to that interview, where we talk a lot about kind of finding, not necessarily finding your lane, because I think one of the interesting things about Streetside is that they don't really have one lane that they stick to. They have a bunch of lanes that are all kind of pieces of their personality, and they manage to stay within all of them. So Brian says, does it drink like a 16.2% or is it a danger beer? You know what? I think that almost every big pastry stout from Streetside drinks like a big beer. I think you can tell that this is a big boy. But with that being said, it is a sessionable 16.2% if you want it to be. all right, let's kick things off. Two weeks ago, something like that, I stopped out at Bad Tom Smith, and I made a post. I took a picture of my beer, which was fine. The beer was actually good. I can't remember now what it was that I had. I'd have to look at the tap list, and I could tell you, but it's not important, because the tap list was only 7 beers and a seltzer. That is with a tap list that is normally 17 beers and a seltzer. So to have 10 beers off of the tap list and just empty was a little concerning when I looked at it. So as soon as I walked in, I saw that. I got there kind of right as they were opening. The bartender was just kind of getting things set up. And I asked her, I said, hey, you know, what's going on? And she's like, I just saw that. I think we're waiting on a grain delivery. Then we'll have more beers on. I don't know that that sounds like the real answer. And I don't think she's lying. I don't think that there's some kind of conspiracy there. I think that either somebody told her that, or that's just an assumption based on maybe some times in the past where there was a beer that was gone and an empty tap. It was because of that, because of some kind of hold up on that. I don't know. Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News says 16%. Wow, is it hot or boozy at all? It's not. I wouldn't call it boozy. It's definitely sweet. It's loaded with with lots of sugar. It is a big, sweet pastry stout. I wasn't thinking it was going to be a 16 percenter, or I wouldn't have selected dark. I definitely couldn't drink. This says 159 ounces of a 16% booze. 16 ounces. Yeah, I don't know. I bet I can do it. You can do whatever you put your mind to. So the bartender had also just gotten there because she was opening. And she said that it had been a little bit since she had worked. So it kind of felt like it was catching her off guard also that there weren't a lot of beers on tap. So I did what any respectable beer blogger would do, and I posted it on social media just to kind of put it out there and to get some other people's theories and see what was going on. And everybody's theories kind of seemed on point with what I was thinking with it. It just seems a little shady, or not shady. Seems a little suspicious, we'll say. Before too long, Bad Tom Smith did reply to the post, and their response was interesting. The first thing that they said was, and this is a quote, they said, "There's more to the story. We will be announcing soon. We appreciate everybody's support throughout the years. Thank you." Now, there's a lot to unpack in that statement, which is obviously just a quick statement that somebody put up there. It was not super well thought out. So there may not be as much to pull out of this as we're thinking, because it was just a quick response. Because somebody had my same thought about it, and they replied and said, "That doesn't sound hopeful." I agree. When I read it a certain way, it sounds not very hopeful. They responded and said, "It's not bad. It's an adjustment." I don't know any details of this. None of this is something I've talked to anybody about. However, we do know that the original plans they had for their big production facility, restaurant, tasting room, bourbon and tequila bar, the original plans for that over in Eastgate have been scrapped. The development is adjusting and is going to kind of do a couple other things. I believe that the works and by gollies are still signed on to that development and will be doing something there. However, Bad Tom Smith is not part of it. They backed out. I think they backed out. I believe the way it was worded to the news was that they backed out. I have heard kind of after all of that happened earlier this summer, I had heard that Bad Tom was kind of reshifting their focus on what the next phase of Bad Tom was going to look like, and they were going to try to do something out near their production facility. So anybody that doesn't know Bad Tom Smith, which is crazy, they've been around forever. When they moved from their original location over on Eastern Avenue to Madisonville, they had just upgraded their brew house on Eastern Avenue there, but they didn't move the brew house to Madisonville. There is no brewery in Madisonville. It's just a tap room. They moved the production to a space out in Batavia. The space is nothing to write home about. It's a production space. It's just kind of a warehouse with a brew house in it. The idea at that time was that they were going to have production that then fed a bunch of other tap rooms. That was the model that they were kind of leaning towards. As the industry shifted and changed and the market changed, I think their plans kind of shifted and changed a little bit too. They closed the Cleveland location and just focused back on Madisonville. So they had a production facility that's just feeding this one tap room. The plans that I was kind of hearing rumblings about were that near this production facility, they were going to build a facility there. So instead of going to Eastgate, they were going to go Batavia, and they were going to build some kind of some kind of facility in Batavia, be it a restaurant, a more customer friendly production facility. I don't know what it was going to look like, but that was what I heard. I've not heard anything since then. Granted, it hasn't been that long. So some of these things take a little bit of time. I'm assuming that some of that is still in the works. However, the fact that they are running out of beer means to me that something is probably changing on the production side. Whether or not they are going to just start contracting all of their beer, it's no secret that the bourbon, they don't distill their own bourbon. They're contracting that. They're buying it from another distillery and then bottling it with their name. Plenty of people have been doing that over the years. I assume that we might be seeing that on the beer side too. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know. But I'm definitely watching it, and I'm definitely paying attention to it very very closely. And so when I do figure something out that is real and is for sure, I will definitely let you guys know. And because things are kind of changing and very interesting right now, I will definitely be watching their tap room and the beers that are there very closely, just to do my what I call research. I do this for you. So Bad Tom, what's up with Bad Tom? I don't know. I don't really know. Marco says, why don't they just say what's going on or the plan? The fact that they replied means that they're working on a plan. Just share it. I think that that's probably the most interesting part about it to me. I don't know if they are working on something, which I mean, clearly they're working on something. There's more to the story. We will be announcing soon. It sounds like maybe they weren't going to talk about it, and now they're kind of figuring out how they're going to talk about it. Maybe they just didn't want to talk about it yet and are waiting for something to be finalized before they can. Trying to figure out a way to explain it. I don't know. It'll make sense, I imagine, once we hear what the plan is of why they hadn't just announced it originally. It's all kind of leaning towards me assuming that they are no longer going to produce their own beer. That's the only thing that I can figure out in my head that would really make sense of why it's going this way. But what do I know? I don't know anything. As my kids, my wife let me know very frequently, I know nothing. Zach says, they knew you knew, so now they have to come up with a good statement. Kind of. I mean, that's kind of it. I don't know why nobody else was saying anything. People that are going to that tap room are watching, and there's no beer on tap. Why was nobody commenting about that? And like I know that Bad Tom gets kind of a bad rap with a lot of beer geeks around town. Some of it for good reasons, some of it for not good reasons. Some of it for valid reasons, some of it for not valid reasons. those might be two separate statements. They do have like a core group of regulars. Like every time I've been in that tap room, there's been other people. There are other tap rooms where I've gone and I've sat and I've had one or two beers, and the whole time that I'm there, nobody else shows up. That's concerning. Not that you go and there's a full bar, but the beer's just kind of okay. If that makes sense. Marco says, speaking of Bad Tom, the cat had fleas, so I had to buy a spray to treat the yard and flea meds for our dog that doesn't have fleas, just as a precaution. Yeah, I feel that pain. let's see. Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News says, Hop Tree up in Hudson, up by me, had three of their own and like six or seven guest beers. I asked about it when I was there last March and got a similar BS answer like you got from the bartender. 2 weeks later, people showing up on a Saturday night to hand a written note on the door that they're permanently closed. Yeah, Yeah. It doesn't scream to me like an impending closure, but it definitely could go that way with the way it felt. The answer from the bartender, I wouldn't call BS from her perspective. I think she was answering honestly to what either she had been told or what she thought, if that makes any sense. Zach says, didn't they have some drama surrounding them at one point? And then he replies to Marco, do you live next to Bad Tom? Bad Tom has had some drama surrounding them at several points throughout their history. Again, some of it warranted, some of it not. But they're one of the oldest breweries in town. They've been around since extremely early 2013. So Marco says, nowhere near. anyways, so what's happening with Bad Tom Smith? I don't know. Just don't know. Moving on, some broader Ohio news, which I'm sure everybody has been eagerly watching with curiosity. DeWine battles Weedwater. Did you see my little Mike DeWine cartoon? I really liked that. He's boxing a big old hemp plant. Hemp plant, ladies and gentlemen. And for this one, I actually have a whole separate page I need to pull up. This is the timeline of what's been going on. As everybody remembers, and we've talked about it on the show, on the 8th, Chris says maybe a rebrand to Double Barrel. On the 8th, Mike DeWine announced that as of 10/14, hemp-derived THC products could no longer be sold. Intoxicating hemp is what they're calling it, which is a really, really good descriptor. Intoxicating hemp. Couldn't be distributed or shipped in the state of Ohio. The executive order, so not something that was voted in by anybody. He just decided he was going to do it. The executive order was going to last for 90 days, and then it would go to the Ohio General Assembly to either extend it or let it expire. So on the 14th, it went into effect, and hemp products were embargoed, I think is the term that I've heard used, which I know nothing about. But Chris says, my Facebook feed is now full of weed water ads. I think everybody's is. There's a lot of weed talk right now. 14th, it goes into effect. And then Zach says, why does DeWine even care anyways? DeWine has always hated weed. He didn't want weed to be legalized. He hates it. So he's doing what he can on his way out the door. However, one day after it goes into effect on the 15th, the ban was blocked by a judge in Franklin County. And we can buy our weed water again. The state representatives are working their butts off trying to figure out some kind of legislation to get this thing figured out. The House passes a version of Senate Bill 56, which is the intoxicating hemp bill. The current bill that is kind of being bounced around, it is, like I said, passed the Senate. Some of the things that are in there, intoxicating hemp can only be sold at licensed hemp distilleries, which sounds like it'll be a separate license, I think, for just kind of lower concentration hemp products. There are more defined characteristics of what that means, intoxicating hemp. Taxes on sales, you can't, no smoking weed in public, some caps on THC volumes and stuff. It looks like they're figuring it out. It looks like they're getting things straightened out slowly but surely. The judge extended the block until the next hearing, which will be on December 2nd. So as of right now, you can buy your weed until December 2nd, weed water and hemp derived weed products. gummies and whatever, which I'm hoping they get it figured out before then. that's my take on it. I am a beverage fan. I love lots of different beverages. I love non-alcoholic beverages. I love weed beverages. I love alcoholic beverages. I love booze. I love tea. I love coffee. I love it all. I love beverages. And I don't like some dude meddling in that. If the people of Ohio decide that they don't like weed and they don't like weed water and they don't like hemp-derived weed water, and they vote on it and they say this has gotta stay out of Ohio, I can understand that and I can respect that. But some dude, some glasses wearing old dude, should not be making that decision for everybody in Ohio. This Senate bill that's going through right now, there are some things in there that change the things that Ohio already voted on. And I have an issue with that. I think that if the people vote for something, it's the will of the people. Your job as governor, your job as the Senate or the House, your job is to represent the will of the people. And it doesn't seem like there's a lot of that going on right now. I don't like it. I don't like it, but it's moving in the right direction, I think. It seems like they're figuring it out. Some kind of regulation needs to happen, obviously. However, if you have been hanging out on Facebook, I'm sure you've seen some kind of news article that is telling you that there's somebody that's going to slip weed into your kid's candy for Halloween. Come on, no, they're not. It's not going to happen. Sure, make sure your kids have candy that's like wrapped and whatever, but they're not going to get weed candy in there. And if there are, when you're taking your dad tax or your mom tax and stealing their candy, just take the weed candy away from them. It's fine. If my kids found weed candy, they wouldn't eat it anyways. They know what a Reese's cup looks like. Okay. We'll keep moving here because I have a couple more things. See, this is why we're not going to get to the actual topic of the show title. It's fine. Everything's fine. It doesn't even matter. None of it matters because it's not a show. This is related, and I've talked about it a little bit already. Julia says people aren't giving their drugs away for free to random kids. Exactly. Razor blades now. Everybody gives away razor blades, but their weed? No way. Rheingeist gets into the weed water game. This was big news that I didn't know was coming. I always love when breweries are able to sneak things through that I don't know was happening. It makes it really exciting for me. This is Fuzzy Bones. I love the name. It is Rheingeist Weed Water. It is definitely a departure into something. Not that Rheingeist hasn't made other beverages, because they have, but they are never very fast to jump on trends that are happening. They kind of let the trends do their thing, and they kind of stick to their lane. This is definitely them jumping on a trend that they think is a real thing, that they think that there is some kind of legs behind, and I think it's great. I think it shouldn't be shocking that they're jumping on it. If you remember back in time, and I didn't pull notes on this, I don't remember what the year was when they were putting in plans for this distribution warehouse, what is now a distribution warehouse over on Spring Grove Avenue. But the original plan that they wanted to happen, this was when Ohio was just starting to get into the medical marijuana world. And they, when they were announcing kind of how it was going to work, they wanted one of the licenses. They wanted to produce weed for, it was going to be a separate business, but by Rheingeist ownership. And they were going to put in this weed production facility and like a dog park and some other stuff over there. That obviously didn't happen. But clearly they've been watching the weed industry or the weed water industry very closely. So it's not shocking. Eric says, we went up to BC's last week. An entire neighborhood over there had Christmas lights up. What the heck? Okay. It depends where the neighborhood is. And why their Christmas lights are up. If they're just decorated for Christmas just for the fun of it, we need to talk. However, I recognize that BC's is up in a part of town that sometimes gets some movies filming. So if this is in like Lebanon or something, it could be related to something like that. I if we go down another rabbit hole for a minute. This has been years back, but my previous work life had me traveling around town a lot more than I do now. And I happened to be in Lebanon for a day, and it was at the same time that Hallmark was in town filming a Hallmark movie. Now, this was probably like it was warm outside. So I'm gonna say it was like July or August. I'm gonna say August, and they were filming this Hallmark movie, which was a Christmas movie. And so the entire town of Lebanon put up the Christmas decorations early. They left them up until Christmas, but they just put them up way earlier than they would have otherwise. Every shop was decorated. All of the street lights and all that had their wreaths and all that stuff. It was all decorated, and then Hallmark or whoever had come in and put snow everywhere. They had like this soapy bubble snow just sprayed all over town. And so like I got out of my car to go do this work that I was getting ready to do, and I got out and there was just foamy snow everywhere. And I stepped in and I'm like, this is weird because it was hot outside and Christmas. And so I'm gonna say maybe there could be something about that. Marco says, was Mandy Moore in it? No, she wasn't. I don't think. I did not see Mandy Moore. If I had, you would have heard a story about it. Mandy Moore is I don't think she's my hall pass. I don't know that that exists in my life. Yeah, I would shoot my shot, or I would have then. I guess I wouldn't now, but I definitely would have shot my shot. So maybe Christmas is just early for a good reason. Oh, way to get me off topic. Weed water. I have tried some of the weed water. Here's what I want to talk about with it. So there's three different varieties. They have a lemon blueberry, they have a blood orange tangerine, and a blackberry hibiscus. I was kind of looking over the flavors, and I said, "All right, hopefully I can." Hopefully I can try them all. Hopefully I can get like a little mix pack, which they come in four packs. I'm like, all right, so two of one and one of each of the other two. That would be perfect if I could get that. You can't, which we're going to talk about in a second, but you can't. So then I had to make a decision. So they do sell single cans in the tap room. And so I went up to the bar and said, you guys sell single cans. Can I get those to go or do I have to have them here? And he's like, you can get it to go over at the merch bar. But you can only get four packs. They won't break them up. And he's like, "In here, I've got the singles, but you got to drink them here." Number one, why the hell not? Okay, that's my number one question. If you've got the cans sitting there, I'll pay the same price as you're paying as you're charging for the tap room, which we'll talk about in a second. We'll pay the same price, but why do I have to drink it here? Why can't I take it home, put it in a little box or a bag or seal it up or whatever you need to do to I don't know. There's no law here, so I don't understand why. Just let me take them. I don't want to buy a four pack of all the same flavor. I want to try the different flavors. We'll revisit that. So I walk over to the merch bar, and I get my four pack, and I'm like, all right. I had already kind of planned this out. I'm like, out of all these flavors, the one that sounds the best to me is this lemon blueberry. I want lemon blueberry. And I order and I get my four pack and she's like, do you know about the different flavors? And I said, well, I mean, I read the flavors, like, I think so. And she said, but do you know what makes them all different? And I'm like, I am starting to think that I don't understand your question. So fill me in, please, because I'm not understanding where you're going with this. And she said, so each flavor gives you a different kind of high. I'm like, oh, okay, like I'm curious now. Fill me in, please. Continue with this confusion. She says, all right, the lemon blueberry, that's the giggly one. It gives you the giggle high. I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds fun. That's going to be the one I'm getting, but continue. I'm curious about these other highs. The blood orange tangerine, that one we call the energy one. It's not like an energy drink. It just gives you more energy. I'm like, okay. Isn't that what an energy drink does? But okay, gotcha. Energy one, giggly one, gotcha. And she's like, then the blackberry hibiscus, that's the sleepy one. I guess you drink that when you want to go to bed. Okay, like I get that. So I got the giggly one. I didn't giggle. I don't think I giggled. It was fine. It tastes great. I only had one of them, so it didn't really do a whole lot of anything. But it was delicious. Christmas beer vent season is where it's at. Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Chris says I could use some Giggle High right now. So yeah, I mean they were good. They were actually really good. I enjoyed the one that I had a lot, and I have more that I'm going to drink. But they're all the same flavor. So at some point, I gotta get some other flavors. Here's the. I did not have the Sleepy High for the record. It was just a yawn. Here's my question. So going back to the cost in the tap room. So a 4-pack was like $18. So when you're all said and done, it's like 20 something bucks to walk out the door with a 4-pack. That's fine. Like it's a little expensive considering how much they cost to make. A little expensive. That's fine. I'll accept it. That's going to be the price that these things are going to go for from now on. Okay. But when I walk up to the bar at Rheingeist and I want to buy a can, number one, it should be available to go, just a single can, whatever. It's $9 freaking dollars for a can of Giggle Juice in the tap room. That's a lot. That's a lot. Especially considering, much like their non-alcoholic beer, which Zach is pointing out, much like the non-alcoholic beer, they're working with a partner to create these products. I'm fairly certain that the partner that they're working with these products is Niche Beverage, which is Urban Artifact. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. So not only are they, let's envision what's happening. So they are, reaching out to whatever the partner is, and they're saying, all right, I need X amount of these weed water cans, and then the company makes them for them. They get shipped there, and this big thing comes, and then they take these cans and they split them into two piles. This pile sits right here, and it costs $18 for four of them. But then this pile that we move over here, we're going to open the box. And now they're going to be $9 a piece. That's an extreme difference to me. I get that you're going to have to charge a little bit more because you're now dealing with a bartender that is turning around and grabbing the can and opening it and handing it to somebody. I don't know what that costs for a bartender to do. And, you know, have the lights on and all that. I get that there's more to it, but I'm illustrating something here. It's like twice as much. It is double the price, which I understand that there are some extreme pricing differences on a lot of things that we're paying for. I just don't get it with a contract product like this. There's not that much more that's going into it. Production is the exact same. The cost of production is the exact same. I can't understand the math, and I cannot understand spending $9 or $10 for a beverage, for like just a normal beverage. If it's like a one-off special thing, and you're just drinking one of something, okay, maybe. Even then, it's a little rough. So I don't know. It was a little tough to swallow. Why? Why is this happening? Ryan says, the times I've had weed water, the effect never kicked in till 60 to 90 minutes later, which I found to be too long to wait. I agree with that a little bit. It doesn't take that long for it to kick in for me, and it depends on which one I'm drinking. There's some that kick in faster than others, and even that's kind of confusing. Ryan says, paying that much will really counteract any giggle factor. Yeah, sometimes you have to laugh the pain off. I've found that with the pace that I typically drink, which I'm a slow drinker in life, I'm a slow drinker. The pace that I typically drink, the weed water, I have to consciously drink faster to really kind of feel the effect. If they're a typical kind of 5 milligram beverage. Now there's stronger ones that will that'll definitely change that. What I've kind of figured out, and I've got some content that I'm working on, kind of explaining my experiences with weed water. I think at the pace that I drink, they take a certain amount of time to hit me, and that's different for each one. But it also goes away a little faster than alcohol does for me. So, like, I might have one or two, and I'll feel it, but then it just goes away. Whereas alcohol kind of lingers a little bit longer for me, and I can kind of enjoy the experience of it a little bit longer. It's just it's different. It's just very different. So that's where I've been at with weed water news. Moving on, since we are already hitting an hour, planning for the holiday. Look, Halloween's this week. I don't know if you guys realize that, but Halloween is one of my favorite drinking holidays. Chris says, Mountain Doom, I am one and done. I still have not tried it. Halloween is one of my favorite drinking holidays. I saw an article, and I don't remember where it was from, so forgive me, but it was listing the most popular Halloween drinking states. And the top three, number three was Wisconsin, number two was Illinois, and number one was Ohio. One of the top Halloween drinking states. And that's a crown that I will happily carry. I love drinking on Halloween. I think is one of the most underrated drinking holidays out there. There's something about this idea of like just hanging out in your driveway around a fire pit. You stay up a little late and you drink a bunch of beers. When you're trick or treating with your kids, you fill your pockets with a couple beers and you just walk around and drink with your neighbors on sidewalks. And like, it's America. I have so much fun with it. I love it. I love like those moments where you're sitting in the driveway and a couple kids walk up and you see mom or dad and they're just finishing whatever beverage they've got and they're putting that empty can and in a bag or in a wagon or something, and hey, you need a refill, the eyes light up, like, yeah, and you give them a beer and you just share the joy of good craft beer with people that you've never met before. I just love it. I love every piece of it. It just works so well. I also saw something, and I don't know that I buy this. Marco says Halloween is the second biggest spending holiday just behind Christmas. I saw an article that that listed this as far as drinking holidays as one of the top four, and put like New Year's, Paddy's Day, Super Bowl, and Halloween as this top four drinking holiday list. And I don't know how they were coming up with those numbers, but I'm gonna take that. I think it's great. But it made me kind of start wondering what everybody else's list looks like. Like, what are the best drinking holidays? Like, there's some that that I really, really enjoy that I think are abnormal. Then there's some that I think probably fall on everybody's list. But, like, Thanksgiving wasn't on there. I love Thanksgiving drinking. Like, you've got this whole period during the day where you're watching football and you're just pounding beers, and then you get to your meal and you have this big choice then to make. Do you open some kind of fancy beers, or try to pair up beers with Thanksgiving dinner? Do you go wine? Do you know, and then afterwards, like, oh, we're going cocktails. Like, we're kicking off the holiday season now. It's cocktail time. I'm curious to see everybody's, like, drinking holidays. What are those best ones? Like Christmas should be for me, but and like, why I always have like a couple drinks Christmas Eve, a couple drinks Christmas Day, and like I'm drinking early on Christmas Day, and that's fun. I don't drink that much because there's so much other crap going on. Like, there's so many events and stuff. Like, Christmas Eve, we're running here, and by the time I get to sit down and just really enjoy a drink, it's late, Although there have been those years where we just drink heavy all day, or I drink heavy all day and make my wife drive me to all of the different events. That's always pretty fun. But Halloween, man, especially like a year like this where it falls on a Friday. Oh man. Julia says, I don't drink any differently regardless of if it's a holiday or not. What? Seriously? Like, I'm a very situational or seasonal drinker as it is. Like, I drink differently if the weather is different. I drink differently if it's a holiday. I drink differently on different days of the week. I'm definitely a different type of drinker. Like, one of those first, like, days where you're not really doing anything because it's Christmas time, that time of the year, and your kids are off school or something, and you're just kind of at home doing family stuff. Like, man, yeah, I'm, hot toddies and things like that. Man, they just, it, I don't drink them any other time of the year. It's just then. Julia says, I'm always driving or I don't go out for the holiday. I don't know. I call BS because you have winter drinking habits. So, like, the first snowfall where you're drinking your Jägermeister, that's kind of a holiday habit. It is one of those things that falls into that. Weekends drink beer event, I might drink a little more. You don't drink more on like Super Bowl Sunday. Like, there has to be some kind of holiday where you're celebrating differently. Thanksgiving, like, you're not opening something special with your Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, I Thanksgiving might be my favorite holiday. Like, not might be, it is my favorite holiday. But it's not my favorite drinking holiday. It's up there. I'd still think Halloween might be it. I mean, I love like, New Year's is fun, and we definitely have like our New Year's traditions. We usually try to go to Steinkeller if it's a year where they happen to be open. Up in Oxford, we go to Steinkeller. We just drink liters of German beer and then go back and start drinking booze and playing weird games and stuff. It was fun. Chris says, I turned 50 for Thanksgiving this year. Happy early birthday. All right, here we go. Derek says, Thanksgiving, 4th of July. Ooh, 4th of July is a good one. It's beers for me on 4th of July, though. I'm just crushing beers. New Year's and Christmas. And grilling the turkey and staying hydrated. Yeah, see, that factors in. I didn't even think about that part. Yes. Like, on Thanksgiving, I always smoke a turkey. And so I'm always outside early and I'm cold. So I'm out there and I light up a fire pit and I stand out by the smoker, watching the turkey as it smokes. You don't really need to do that. And it doesn't take nearly as long as you think it's going to take. But I'm out there smoking a cigar, having a fire pit, and drinking some beers in the morning. And oh, yeah, like, it's so good. Julia says, well, maybe going to Brink on Thanksgiving is a newer tradition for us. Maybe then, but I'm still driving, so it's not like I'm having a ton. I get that. But maybe, like, even just what you drink or how it feels to drink certain things. Chris says, Arbor Day. Speaking of Thanksgiving, while we're on this topic, you might, if you didn't see on Facebook, you might want to go ahead and mark your calendar for Black Friday. The evening of Black Friday, I'm doing a thing, and it may involve some holiday drinking shenanigans. Just mark your calendar. We're going to be talking about it way heavier for like the next 4 weeks until it happens. So next week you'll start hearing more about it, and we'll start start hashing out the plans and figuring out what exactly it's going to look like. And I'll let you guys help me figure that out. But yeah, just mark it on your calendar for now. That's important. Arbor Day. I could make Arbor Day a good drinking holiday. Just go sit like in the woods with a bunch of trees, drinking weed waters. I think you have to drink weed water on Arbor Day. All right. That's an hour and 8 minutes. Julia says, Gluevine, please. We'll see. We will see. So if you looked at the event, it is during a holiday beer extravaganza. So it's going to be very beer heavy, but I can't promise there won't be Gluevine. Chris says, Friday is when I actually turn 50, but I am working retail that day. Well, Friday is the day that we need everybody to be free to come drink heavily with me. Derek says, Thanksgiving, also the start of bourbon barrel-aged stout season. As soon as I get like those cold days, it starts. Chris says, Mad Tree is missing the opportunity there. You know it's crossed their mind. You know they've had that discussion. thank you, guys. Look, I appreciate you guys always hanging out with me for this show, the show that is not a show. I sincerely apologize for any kind of technical difficulties that plague whatever this thing is. I will figure this out one of these days. The thing that just I still can't figure out is why it just never works the way it's supposed to. we'll be back. We'll do this again next week. I think that maybe we'll do it like 9:30-ish next Monday. How about that? Mark your calendar for that one too. There are, as we start heading into the holidays, just advance warning. There are going to be some days where either the show is time shifted or possibly even day shifted. I know of one already. We were kind of going through some holiday events and stuff, and like we're trying to get a Kings Island day, and we're trying to get a zoo day, and we're supposed to go pet reindeer or some kind of bullshit, something like that. I mean, some kind of fun holiday activity. All of these things are quickly going to start making scheduling things difficult. So there is definitely going to be at least 1 week where the show will not happen in its normal time. But I'll let you know ahead of time. And as we get into December, be prepared for your Beer Vent content. If you don't already have your Beer Vent calendar, get your Beer Vent calendar. Go to Higher Gravity's website and get your calendar before they're all gone, because I don't know how many are left. Like, they might be really close to being gone or gone, because I'm going to do the impossible every single day in December. I'm going to make content. Maybe live. Maybe every single one will be live. Don't know. We will see. So, stay tuned for that. Derek says, cheers, but always came in late, but always good to hang. Always good to hang with everybody. Sorry I didn't get more beer. One 16% beer is evidently enough to fill a show. That means these go back in the fridge, and they may show up again. Cheers, everybody. We will... We'll see you next time. Same time, same place. All that good stuff. If you like the show, if you like any of the stuff that I do, you can always go to thegnarlygnome.com/support, and you can support that way. Stuff coming. Sticker packs are being finalized, hopefully, in the next week or two. Week. I'm going to try to do it in the next week. And that means that the new store will be active before the end of the year. So there's some good stuff. I'm working on it. I also have some really, well, I can't spoil anything yet, but maybe for our live winter show, there might be some surprises on that side too. We'll see. Ish. Thank you, guys. We will see you soon. Okay, if you were thinking that you needed some Krampus merch, I've got some big Krampus stuff coming. I have like a really big Krampus project that I've been working on for God knows how long, that I'm hoping this is the year I can get it done. Yeah, there's stuff coming. Stuff and stuff.